I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What I'd like for us to do is when we look at the Lord's Supper, consider things about it. We want to be biblical in our approach this morning about the Lord's Supper. We want to be in line with what the Scripture says. Now, when it comes to this supper, we need to think of a few things that is very, very clear from Scripture. Here's what we need to think about. We need to understand, first, why this matters so much. Why is this a big deal? I mean, it's just a little bitty piece of bread and just a little bitty cup with drink in it. Why is that so important? And furthermore, if there's anything that the church for 2,000 years have disagreed about, it would be this particular meal. What does it mean? How should we take it? Who should take it? What are we remembering? Is there anything special in and of itself that nourishes our body and soul? All of these things Christians have struggled with, wrestled with, sought to understand. But again, I want us to be very, very intentional in looking at what the Scripture says. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the Apostle Paul. And he is writing to the church at Corinth, and he gives them instructions on all kinds of things. This is a group of people who do not have it together. This is a church that does not have it together. They need to be instructed on things. They need to be instructed on the ways of the Lord. And they need to be reminded of the gospel. Paul has preached the gospel to them. He's told them the good news that Christ has died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. He's already said that, but again, he says it and reminds them of what he's already preached. Again, as we said a couple weeks ago, our job, and specifically my calling, is not to teach you anything new. It is to remind you of what is written. To remind us of what is written. That we believe, that we receive, that we are renewed in the Word of God. So three questions this morning. Why do we come together for the Lord's Supper? Who can take the Lord's Supper? And how are we to take the Lord's Supper? First, why do we come together to take the Supper of the Lord? Let's read, if you'd follow with me, let's look at the passage together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim, you say, you preach the Lord's death until he comes." So why do we come together for the Lord's Supper? First, for obedience. We are instructed and commanded to come and do this. Did you see that in the text? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Take the bread, take the cup, do this in remembrance of me. We are commanded by the Lord. We come together to take the Lord's Supper in obedience to the command of Christ. He commands us, we are to obey. So to not come together and take it is to disobey. If we neglect obeying this commandment of the Lord, it is disobedience. That is why we need to regularly come together. We need to regularly obey together this command of doing this in remembrance of Him. So we come together first for obedience because we're commanded. Second, we come together in remembrance. We're not just coming together to take something together and have a good feeling in the moment. We're coming together to remember something. We're coming together to remember what has been accomplished for us. We're coming together to remember the body of the Lord and to remember the blood of the Lord. We are thinking back. This is a meal where our minds and hearts do not check out. This is a meal where we must be thinking the whole time. This is a meal where we must be feeling and remembering with affections the whole time. This is a meal of remembrance. We are remembering the body of the Lord. So what specifically do we remember about the body of Jesus? The life of Christ. His full obedience to the Father. His active obedience and His obeying and keeping the law perfectly that was set before Him. Where Adam failed, Christ prevailed. Where Adam disobeyed and brought the curse and the fall, Christ obeyed and brings redemption and justification. We are remembering the body of our Lord and that in His body He bore our sins on the tree, the Scripture says. His body was beaten. His body was scourged. On His body, on His head, the crown of thorns were placed. His body was pierced through. His body is the sacrifice that pleases God. And we remember the blood of Christ. The Scripture says what? We are not bought with the blood of goats or the blood of lambs. We do not come in worship with animals at our side. We do not come making sacrifices to the Lord. God Almighty has provided the sacrifice. The Father has provided the sacrifice. His very Son, who is the Lamb of God, and the Father is pleased with the sacrifice He provides. So don't bring anything else with you to add to it. He's pleased with the sacrifice that He has provided. Remember. Remember when we take this. The body that was given. The body that was nailed. The blood that was poured out. The Scriptures tell us that we are not bought with the blood of goats and animals in the sacrificial system of old. That does not cleanse our conscience of dead works, but we are bought with the precious blood of Christ. We are not ransomed and bought with corruptible things like silver and gold. We are bought with an imperishable thing, which is the blood of Christ. We are bought with something much more valuable than gold and silver, brothers. We are bought with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. God is pleased. It was even the will of the Father to crush Him, we are told by the prophet Isaiah. We come together in obedience. We come together in remembrance. Third, we come together for communion with Christ and communion with the saints. This is not an individual meal. This is a collective meal. It's a family meal. There's communion of saints when we gather together and take the cup together. When Jesus institutes this supper and is bringing about and giving the explanation and instituting the new covenant in His body and blood, when He's doing that, He doesn't do it alone. He does it with a group. A group is gathered. The disciples are gathered. A family is gathered together to take this meal. And we come together as saints. We come together as brothers and sisters. This is a family meal and a family table. And the question you need to ask is that, do you have a place at the family table? Are you adopted into the Father's house? Do you bear the Father's name? Have you been bought by the blood of the Son? If you wrestle with those questions, then this meal is not for you. This is a family meal. This is a meal where we gather together as brothers and sisters, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. For those who can sing that story, for those who have the blessed assurance, for those who will continue on singing that story, we can come to this table and we can take and we can remember and we can obey and we can share communion and fellowship with one another and with Christ. And with Christ. This is a fellowship meal. This is fellowship with our head and fellowship with the body in this meal. Fourth, it is to show forth the Lord's death until He returns. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So this meal is not simply passive. It's not simply passive. But in the act of taking it, you're proclaiming and preaching something. You're saying something by taking the bread and the cup. Well, what are you saying? You're proclaiming the Lord's death. You're proclaiming a crucified Messiah. You're proclaiming the Son of God who became the curse, who took your judgment, who took your punishment, who bore the penalty of sinners upon His own head. You're proclaiming the death of the Son of God for sinners when you take this meal. You're saying, in effect, His body for me, His blood for me, broken, poured out for my forgiveness. That's what you're saying, even though you're not saying it. The action speaks according to the Word of God. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He returns. Again, we don't just remember and look back. We also look forward. We look forward because Christ will come and we take and we receive and we remember and we think and we pray and we rejoice and we repent and we believe, all the while longing for the return of our King. Longing for His return when He will make all things right and all things new, brothers and sisters. Who can take the Lord's Supper? Well, Paul's writing to Christians here. Paul is giving instructions for a church here. And in chapter 1, he gives some indications with regards to, he gives descriptions of who these people are. Listen to what he says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Again, the question is, who can take the Lord's Supper? Anybody? Or is it reserved for certain people? Again, let's see what the Scripture says. Verse 1, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ and our brother Sosthenes, to the church. He's writing specifically to somebody, to the church of God that's in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, to those who are called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So in verse 2, that's jam-packed with descriptions on who is receiving this meal. Well, who's receiving it? The church is receiving it. The church, those sanctified, those set apart in Christ. Those who have been united to Christ, set apart from the world, and in Christ Jesus, those can come. Those who are called to be saints. Saints, not in the Roman Catholic sense where you're a super spiritual elite and remembered to and prayed to. Not that kind of saints. Saints are those who are bought with the blood of Christ, born of the Holy Spirit, and set apart as holy because you belong to Jesus Christ. So if you belong to Christ, if you're called to be a saint, if you're in the Beloved, if you're set apart and sanctified in Christ, if you are a part of the church, and if you have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, then you can come. You can receive. If He is your Lord, you can receive this meal. If you've been called, you can receive this meal. If you've been set apart and sanctified, you can receive this meal. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ. So again, it's people who are united to Jesus Christ that he's thanking God for. That in every way you are enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. So again, has the testimony of the Lord Jesus been confirmed in you? Does the Spirit of God bear witness to your spirit that you are a child of God? If so, then you're welcome to receive the family meal. But there are restrictions here. There's a fence around the table. It's not come one, come all. It's do you belong to Christ? Are you united to Christ? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Is He your Lord? Have you been set apart? Are you united to Him? And are you wholly separate unto the Lord and not to this world? Then we can come. How are we to take the Lord's Supper? Well, we have instruction for that also. Back to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 27. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many of you are weak and ill and some have died. So there's a particular way that we are to take this meal. How are we to take it? Worthily. That's how. You are to take it in a worthy manner. You are not to take it in a flippant, half-hearted manner. You are to take it in a worthy manner of our Lord. You are to take it with reflection, examination, reverence. So we come and it's going to be passed and we're going to receive it. And we are to take it with reverence in a worthy way because our Lord died for our sins. We are to take it with reverence. We are to take it with reflection. We are to reflect before we receive this meal. We are to reflect and examine ourselves. Are we loving the Lord? Are we honoring the Lord? Are we loving the fellowship here? Are we serving one another? Are we caring for one another? Is there bitterness? Is there dissension? Is there unforgiveness? Does somebody have beef with you? Do you have beef with them? We need to resolve those things before we take it, lest we eat and drink judgment upon ourselves. Consider yourself warned. Consider yourself warned. If you take this meal lightly with unrepentant sin, you come into the category of drinking the very judgment of God upon yourself. Now that seems like scary words, but that's precisely what Paul is saying. Are they redeemed and are they saved and are they believers and are they a part of the church? Yes, 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 yes. Chapter 1, we just read it, right? But we are to examine ourselves. We are to reflect, we are to think, we are to consider what He has done, and we are to examine and consider our own heart. And if you cannot resolve it, if you cannot resolve it before you take, you let it pass. Why in the world would you drink discipline upon your head? This is a serious matter. We are to take it in a manner of reflection and reverence. But I always want to say this. This is not a meal for perfect saints. You hear me? This is a meal for repenting saints. This is a meal for sinners who are repenting. This is a meal for saints and sinners. This is a meal for those of us who belong to Christ and fight with sin every day. This is a meal for those of us who love the Lord and fall short of His glory every day. This is a meal for those of us who treasure Christ and miss the mark every day. You don't have to have it all together to take the meal. Jesus alone has satisfied those requirements. And you are united to Him by faith alone and Christ's work alone. That's what we're remembering. So this is a meal not for perfect sinners, but for repenting sinners. This is a meal not for unrepentant sinners. If you're loving your sin, hear me. If you're loving your sin, you're not welcome at the table. This is for people fighting against sin, dying to sin, repenting of sin day after day after day. This is for people turning from sin because we don't love it, because we love our Lord. That's who the meal is for. We take it with faith, we take it with hope, we take it with love. Obedience always is connected to love. When we are to obey our Lord, we are to do it in love and with love. We are to believe in all that He has done for us. It's not a magic meal where like grace is imparted to you. We're remembering, we're believing, we're rejoicing, we're hoping, and by faith we receive benefits that He has won for us, and we do it with hope. Hope meaning the best is yet to come, brothers and sisters. The best is yet to come. Like this meal is just a foretaste. A foretaste. When we will forever be with brothers and sisters and the Lord. Forever. Where we will be in a land where no sin, sorrow, sadness, and sickness will linger. Where the curse of the fall is utterly removed. We will be forever with the Lord and family, brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the new heavens, in the new earth, and we will enjoy fellowship forever. And this is a foretaste of what's to come. So there's a lot going on in this meal. There's a lot for us to think about and reflect on and pray on. So let's do that. Let's take a moment where we intentionally examine ourselves, pray, repent, remember, rejoice, and then we will take it together. Deacons and Brother Dennis and Brother Manning, if y'all could come forward at this time and get ready to prepare, and we'll spend some time praying and reflecting and then take together.